You are listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church, located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to westhill.net/donate. A note to all our listeners. At the beginning of this audio recording, due to technical difficulties, the first few minutes were lost. We're very sorry. Thank you for listening.
Everybody's got a Kleenex up to their face. I had to take my sweater off. I got so warm there.
Grounded, guided, growing. A time for centering. From Scott Kearns.
We gather here every week. There are organizations that meet every month, and the studies have shown that meeting every week grounds us and connects us even better than once in a while. So together we remind ourselves. I was listening to the news on the CBC on the way over, and you can feel pretty ungrounded in this world if you listen to news for more than 5 minutes. And if our security, if our foundation of what holds us together depends on the externals in life, it can get pretty shaky. And so we remind ourselves that we've grounded ourselves on the bare and sole fact of this life, interconnected as it is. That's just a fact, that one thing affects the other. And that means two things. That means you affect me, and that means I affect you. And it also means that things I've never even heard of affect me, and I'm affecting things I may never hear of. But the bottom line with it is our next word, which is we're guided by it matters. It matters to us that we affect things. It matters to us that things are affecting things. So we want to be guided by love. And we say this over and over, and I do it because I need to hear it over and over. I hope you do too, because it needs to just be that firm center in our life. And when we gather together and listen to people we may never have met, and I'm so glad you're here, it widens our view. It brings us more wisdom about how to approach life.
Some of you may not be aware that the readings that we do each Sunday are provided by the speaker of the perspective, and often that is a guest speaker, as it is today. So these words, these readings were provided by our guest, who I'm going to introduce shortly, but I wanted you to be aware of that. She was very prolific and sent so many good ones. I'm going to add an extra one in. and that's because it is Father's Day. This was from Nelson Mandela. To be the father of a nation is a great honor, but to be the father of a family is a greater joy. Offered as wisdom for the journey. Let me get that in this time. We walk as light. The next is from the Grandmothers to Grandmother campaign in South Africa. The AIDS epidemic has left millions of children orphaned by AIDS. Without hesitation or complaint, Africa's grandmothers have stepped in to care for them. In fact, in many countries throughout South Africa, it is estimated that between 40 to 60% of orphans live in a grandmother-headed household. After bearing their own adult children, they take on the responsibility of caring for their grieving grandchildren, often with little support, and while coping with their own deteriorating health. Yet through all this, African grandmothers have risen to become the linchpin of survival for their families and communities. Offered for wisdom for the journey, maybe walk in its light. The next is from Archibald Desmond Tutu. We have been blessed with such creativity. We communicate through art, music, dance, and hope. Offered for wisdom, as wisdom for the journey. And finally, this is from Gina Mahope, African storyteller from Dreams of Africa. My biggest dream for my country and my continent is for our children to be safe, loved, and nurtured. Until we see a brighter future in our children's eyes, nothing we do today has any value. Offered as wisdom for the journey. And now it is my great pleasure to introduce our special guest speaker this morning, Carolyn Nixon. As you may have read in the Post, Carolyn is a retired secondary school physical education teacher and department head for the Scarborough Board of Education. She finished her long career at Woburn and Wexford Collegiates. Carolyn was one of those teachers who inspired and encouraged her students to find their personal talents and to live productively and positively, and that this was always possible to do while having fun. Carolyn taught by example, and well after retirement, she continues to do so. I know this to be true because I've played golf with Carolyn, and I've laughed a lot. And also, she plays a mean boogie on the piano. Carolyn and her husband, Don, have been residents of West Hill for over 50 years. They have two children, Stephanie and Andrew, and four young grandchildren. After attending the World's AIDS Conference with her talented daughter, Stephanie, she was a delegate at the Grandmothers Conference in South Africa in 2006, where she was pulled into this important cause. Since then, Carolyn has traveled annually to the Valley of 1,000 Hills in South Africa to support grandmothers raising orphan children. Carolyn spends up to two months each spring working in association with the Hillcrest AIDS Center Trust, bringing needed supplies and developing support groups, now numbering 50. She's also the founder of the Go-Go Olympics, a special program for the grandmothers of the Valley, and we're going to see a lot more about that. Her work speaks to each of the statements in our vision works, namely, our grounding is in the interconnectedness of life, our response to life is love, our sources for inspiration are diverse, and our gatherings are multifaceted. Please welcome Carolyn Nixon. And if we could have, come on up.
Oh, perfect. Delightful.
And I'm going to get out of your way.
Okay. Thanks, Anne. It is such a treat to be here. This is really special on Father's Day. Having lived around the corner, in fact, 4.5 minutes away for the past zillion years, I've driven back and forth past your church probably 80 zillion times and have always been very impressed with what you folks are doing, and so, which makes it even more exciting to be here. Every time I've driven by, I have read your inspirational message. And today's inspirational message was, it's going to make me cry because it was so special. The heart has no borders. That was written by my son. One year, I was in South Africa. He and his wife had some sadness happen here, and so I phoned home to say, this is so emotional. I'm usually funny, so I phoned home and said, oh, Andy, I'm so sorry to hear this. I wish I was at home to hug you. And he said, don't worry, Mom, the heart has no borders. So that has been the title of my PowerPoint presentation ever since. So special to see it on your inspirational message out front. So thank you very much. Today's, I'll just give a, having been there for 12 years, I have, you can imagine how many adventures I've had, good and bad, but mostly good. I'm just going to tell the good ones, really. And so trying to put 12 years worth of amazing progress and accomplishments and happenings and friends and children into a small package, today I'm just going to introduce you to a couple of my friends. And I realized this year, it was almost an epiphany, I realized that these wonderful people who had been my friends gradually over the past 12 years are really my heroes too. So I would like to introduce you to my friends and my heroes. But first of all, Sawabona, say Sawabona. Sawabona Ninjani. Siapira. Well, you just said, hello, how are you? And fine, thank you. And Anne already did a very good attempt at Happy Father's Day. Osuku, Olushle, Kobaba. To all you appropriate people out there, Happy Father's Day. Now, I thought, how am I going to approach this? Because here I am in church. How do you start a speech in church? So I thought, I know. I'll say, dearly beloved. And then I thought, well, actually, this is quite appropriate. Because at Hillcrest Aid Center, their motto is unconditional love. And so the whole story today is all about unconditional love. Then I thought maybe I should say, in the beginning, but then actually it's true because I'm going to tell you from the beginning of my experiences in 2006 with the wonderful folks in South Africa. Then I thought perhaps I would start, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Because it really was. Think of anywhere in Africa these days, it's always a lot of times the worst of times, but being of the optimistic like Desmond Tutu saying with music, dance, art, and hope, that's what it's all about. So there were a lot of successes. So we're going to talk successes. And oh, I have this little machine. Watch this. Peter, are you there? Come in, Peter. Look. Oh, can I go backwards? Oh, this is fun. I just have to play with it for a minute. How do I make it go backwards, Peter? Okay. That one? Yes. Okay. The heart has no borders. A tribute to the grandmothers and grandothers. So that makes you all. This is a tribute to you all. Can I tilt? Yes, I can. And this seems to tell it all. This is the grandmother's hands on a wee baby. And every grandmother group we got to, it would be filled with grandmothers and babies. And very well-behaved little toddlers. You know how our toddlers are up and around and racing about, and the toddlers would just sit there nicely. And here are some of the darling little toddlers. They loved being able to take their own picture. But these are the originals. These are the four women, or the three women, that were at the grandmother's gathering in 2006, which was affiliated with the World AIDS Conference. And on our, and so we call each other the originals. A couple of years ago was our 10th anniversary, so we had an originals celebration. And here is Princess on your left. She was the head nurse at Hillcrest Aid Center. And then Lindeni, a rural lady who doesn't speak English, from deep in the valley, who perhaps had never even worn shoes, and she was also one of the delegates at the grandmother's convention. So you can, or they call it grandmother's to grandmother's gathering because it sounded more user friendly. And she has turned out to be a marvelous leader, leading her whole community. And it's fabulous seeing leadership skills rise and that has been Lynn Denny, but she's hilarious. They were here in the fall to help promote one of the Stephen Lewis Foundation books, The Power of Love, and when they were at our house, my husband, Donald, we used to call him the Donald, but not anymore, Donald thought she was hilarious, not speaking any English, and she never smiles when she gets her picture taken because there's only that one tooth at the front, so she's always looking very stern, even though she has this amazing sense of humor. And then notice how all lean and lovely we are. It's sort of, we're all like that in South Africa. And next we have Twingy. Twingy, whose name is spelled with a C-W, C-W-E-N-G-I, but C-W in Zulu is a click, so her name is really Wingy. But it takes longer to say and harder to get to that click. If you remember the Miriam Makeba songs, you know, with the good clicks in them, there's about half a dozen different clicks, which all mean something else. So Twingy has been the, in March, she was the Woman of the Year for South Africa, or Woman of the Month in South Africa, and twice she has been nominated for Woman of the Year. And it was Twingy and I that started working together 12 years ago, building two main projects. The first being building grandmother support groups, because there were thousands of people, thousands and thousands of grannies in the Valley of a Thousand Hills, all in the same boat but not realizing it. So we started building grandmother support groups. And you'll see a couple of the different groups as we go along here. Oops, here we go. And here we are outside Hillcrest Aid Center, and there's Twingy, and we are true soul sisters. In fact, we tell everybody we are twins who were separated at birth. We always get that response. A couple of laugh, and some people go, but it's true. And this, I wanted to show you what the Valley of a Thousand Hills is like, because it is. It's miles and miles of miles and miles. And on this day, and you can see it, see the farthest part back? That is all part of the Valley of a Thousand Hills, and this is where all of these wonderful people were living and surviving, and often surviving on nothing. The area of the Valley of a Thousand Hills is a beautiful, beautiful tourist area. There's big sports events happening. The Comrade Marathon was just going on this very week. There's huge kayak races down from Peter Maritzburg to the sea. But where the tourist map stops is where our work starts. So you will see. Oh, that's just a little one. That's a pathway leading down. And Twingy, who was doing home-based care work, teaching people deep in the valley how to look after people that needed help and needed health care, we were going down in the valley because somebody had phoned to say a man was critically ill. So we went. It took us three guides to get down where we were going. We went down, you would hear them yell to the next guide, and they would come and meet us, and then to get to the very bottom. The man was critically ill, and they the next day, and going back up the hill, we went slightly different up the hill, a different route. So when we got to the top of the hill, I didn't know where my car was, but we did find it. But so just to show you the size of the Valley of a Thousand Hills and the distance, so you can see why a lot of these grandmothers, and you know the word for the Zulu word for grandmother is go-go. That's the Go-Go Olympics. But just to see you, to show you what it's about. And this was the first of the go-go groups that we met. And we were meeting under the tree, you know, with chickens wandering by. And this was Tulageli's group. You will meet Tulageli as we go along. And you also notice that, as Desmond Tutu said, with the music and the art and the dance and the hope, this is what happens at every go-go meeting. At the end, we sing and we dance and we pray. In fact, I think we're praying because it's all in Zulu. But with each group which we started, we would say, what is your fondest wish with your group? And some would say, we would like to have communal gardens. Or someone would say, we would like to raise chickens. Or somebody else said, I think we could make bread. And this group said, we would like to build a building, because they didn't have any real size building, and they were all wonderful artisans as far as the beadwork is concerned. And you saw some of the beadwork out the back, these darling little things that are called Little Travelers. These are income-generating projects for the Go-Go's. But we'll talk about the craft shop in a secchi. So they said they would like to have a real building. So that was in probably 2007. 10 years later, it was finished. And here's the process. That's Tolegeli. And this was the process of clearing the land, and it probably would have taken, you know, 1 hour for a front-end loader to come in, or whatever those machines are called, to clear this land. But note the primitive tools we were working with. And then to go and get water, lots of miles, lots of yards, meters away, from a leaky thing. I don't know where the water was really come from, but we would get the water from there. And then bring it back. I had to cheat and hold on. And then using the water with cement powder, and you and my friends helped to provide all the makings for the houses, and then building bricks one brick at a time. It's like playing with silly putty or Play-Doh, one brick at a time. And the temperature had to be okay so that rain would wreck it all, but one brick at a time, and you can imagine how many thousands of bricks it took. But here we are with the bricks. And then it got finished last year. We had a cute little ceremony of closing or opening the door, taking the lock off the door. It was. I was the only outside person there, and so I was too busy just enjoying this whole process and helping with the locking and the unlocking of the door that I didn't have any pictures of this whole delightful ceremony. But then the inside now is all painted with translation words, as you can see, and they're all filled with singing and dancing and hope. And the little kids, their traditions, their culture are carried on. So every little kid learns how to dance really early and do those wonderful Zulu kicks and always with the traditional garb. But then, here, this is one of my favorite pictures there. Notice their houses in the background. The round ones are called rondavels, and a lot of them also had mud houses, which would, in horrible rainstorms, would wash away. But this is a fun one, because about, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago, my daughter and family, Steffi was on a sabbatical, so she and her husband and their two little boys came over, because Steffi was doing work at doing a project in Zambia, and then came and we all stayed together in South Africa. So the little boys came, and while Steffi went off to do more research stuff, the little boys would come and play with me wherever I happened to be going. And so here, this is like, where's Waldo? Do you see two little boys that might be mine? They're in there somewhere. Actually, they're slightly brown because their dad is Filipino. But there's two little Nixon kids in there. And loved it. The kids that age don't know anything about socioeconomic status or color or anything. They're just absolutely delightful. So when I posted this in Facebook with all these little kids taking a knee like a real soccer team, that's the second string. But then here's Lynn Denny, the other one of the originals from deep in the valley. And a fun thing they started recently is nominating a Go-Go leader of the year. So here was Lynn Denny, Go-Go of the year, which is just thrilling for her, because that's her house. And there's stones, the big rocks are on the roof to keep the roof on, because she's sort of at the top of part of a valley. So, once she was struck by lightning, and their bedroom burnt, the mattress burnt down, and just awful stuff. And a whole sad family, but they're just so positive. The first year I was there, there were 21 people living in Lynn Denny's house. Little kids, all this little kids' age, and then her own kids' age, you know. But the next year when I got there were only 18. And so couple of these little people weren't there anymore. So the whole sad existence, but typical of what was happening in the Valley of a Thousand Hills, and typical of what was happening all over Sub-Saharan Africa, or all over the world for that matter. So I was staying in a funny little shack behind a B&B in Hillcrest. Hillcrest is a town which the B&B owner said is a traditionally affluent town, you know, and but drive 10 minutes down into the valley and you're at Lynn Denny's house. But the B&B was getting rid of beds, a couple of beds. So Twingy and I arranged to take them in this funny, they call these trucks backies. A pickup truck is a backie. And so if you notice, trying to get the mattresses in, plus a guy, there's one of our friends is in there, one of the Zulu friends is in, because we needed help to get the mattresses in and out once we got down to the valley, bottom of the valley. And then, so getting down, taking them, when you get to Lindani's house, there's really good infrastructure on the, can you hear this okay? I can hear it up here, but I didn't know whether back there you could if I turned my head away. They're very good roads, but then you get to not so good roads, and then you get to terrible roads, especially if it's been raining, and then you park and walk. So, and speaking of driving, when I first met the ladies at the grandmother's gathering, I knew that the Donald and I were going to South Africa that winter because Steffi was working on her postdoctoral thesis. She's works at the global level as far as HIV/AIDS policy research. Her PhD was something about what Canada's responsibility should be as far as HIV/AIDS, everything from bioethically to scientifically to medically, et cetera, et cetera. Doing her postdoc in Durban at University of KwaZulu-Natal. She was same sort of thing, but what the other rich countries should be doing also. But when you first get there, and I looked up the women closest to where Steffi, we'd be visiting Steffi with her husband and their new baby, and discovered it was Hillcrest Aid Center. So I went to the session that those wonderful originals were giving, and it was all about grief and how you deal with telling your grandchild that their mother has died, and it was just, just typical of what's happening, but so real. But so I said afterwards to the women, "Hi, I'm Carolyn. I'm going to be there in January and February. What can I do and what can I bring?" And in their big Zulu voices, they said, "Everything and everything." So I've been doing that ever since. But the fun thing is, I get off the airplane, rent a car, and it looks as if someone has stolen the steering wheel because it's on the other side of the car. So get in the wrong side of the car, drive on the wrong side of the road, shift gears with your wrong hand. It's absolutely cuckoo. And every time you want to put on your directional, the windshield wipers go. So anyway, all part of the adventure. So here is Lindani receiving the beds, and she cried. She said her small children have never slept on a bed. And then another time when she cried was, I went to visit her. She didn't know I was coming, and went to visit her one day. And each time I would go, I would get the big packages like that of rice and mealy meal and maize and beans and things. And when I got there, she started to cry. And I said, is everything okay? And she said, that morning, and this was with her more than 15 people living in her house, she said, that morning, we ran out of food. She said, I didn't know how I was going to feed them when everybody came home. And she said, so I prayed that somehow food would arrive. And I drove in with these packages of food. It's like magic. But on a silly note, notice the bag. In fact, that's my purse over there. Anne, if you just hold up that beautiful orange purse. The whole bag, yes. Because that is... Aunt Caroline is the name of the most famous rice package in South Africa, and one day with a and so the craft shop made me that beautiful purse out of the Aunt Caroline rice bag. And notice if you do like this, I look just like Aunt Caroline. And one day I met sitting. You saw how the group was sitting on the ground. Yeah, it's just silly. A group that we hadn't met before, the group of go-go's, not in a building, but sitting on the side of the mountain, on the side of the road. And one of the Twingy was translating for me, and she said, "Oh, that lady's all excited." She says, "At last I've met you." And I thought, "Oh, am I famous already? This is only my second year here." And the go-go says, "Yes, Aunt Caroline." Now, I'd like to tell you about the Hillcrest AIDS Center craft shop called Wazamoya. And Wazamoya means, it translates to sort of come hope, that sort of positive feeling. And the Go-Go's are all wonderful at making small, or making beaded work. The craft shop has grown from a small little thing to a wonderful, wonderful place that exports and has huge orders, you know, for companies, that sort of thing. But this, I stayed in the picture because you could see how big that map of the how big the map of Africa is, and that is made of 300 little messages, little rectangles that the Go-Go's have beaded with a message like hope or love. Or a picture of a mountain. And that's how big it is. And it is resting in the World Cup Stadium in Durban. That was the year of the World Cup. And but unfortunately, it's in the VIP headquarters. So the normal people can't even go and see it. But it's in a more prestigious place than crazy old Zuma's picture. But yeah, I had to show you that it really was at the World Cup. But then the next year, they started working on... Oh, and this is what the beaders do. They sit on the floor with a little pie plate filled with the beads and make magnificent creations. But the next year, they started working on this, and it's called the Chair of Dreams. And it, once again, is filled with maybe 400... little beaded squares donated, created by the Go-Go's. And notice that the wings are the shape of the continent of Africa. In fact, this became so famous that they now have it's called the Chair of Dreams. And they produced a beautiful book because they took the chair all over the place through some places in Europe. They took it to the United Nations, in United States. This picture was even in O magazine. There was a write-up in O magazine that year. And here, oh, here, there are the Soul Sisters, the twins again. And notice we both got a continent of Africa there. And here, this looks, this just looks like a normal picture with Twingy and me. That's, they set that up for the photo shoot because something, another important thing as well as the chair was sewing machines. And we provided the first sewing machines in the whole area. And that has just blossomed. Now there's the sewing schools. And some of the Go-Go groups have become so good that they're creating or they're sewing school uniforms, which is fabulous because you can't go to school unless you have a uniform. And, you know, so many families don't even have enough money. You see threadbare uniforms on so many of the young kids. So huge success with the start of the sewing machines. But this is really, if you happen to see the page, it's really page 94 in the book, that big picture. But it's even bigger because Wazamoya has just built a whole new big studio and shop and everything, and that is about 5x5 on their wall. I was just so surprised to walk in this year because the building had just been completed and turned the corner, and there were the Soul Sisters. And celebrating, once again, the music, the dance, the art, and the hope. And while the Go-Go's are celebrating, the kids are looking after the kids. This is a really important part of the whole culture there, the responsibility. And I love this picture. I wish it was bigger or closer because it's the chair with all Go-Go hands on it and one Canadian hand there. Schools, oh, we could go on... You know what? I tend to babble, so if it gets to be next Wednesday already, get the hook, eh? But schools, I won't even go into the schools except that funding is terrible. There's good programs. In fact, friends of mine have started programs that get the kids out of the valley to schools that do have money, do have funding. As a phys ed teacher, they have no phys ed stuff at all. I always take the soccer balls, the all sorts of skipping ropes. Heart and Stroke Foundation always gives me skipping ropes and T-shirts. In fact, you'll see a picture of these Go-Go's proudly wearing a Bike for Heart T-shirt shortly. But the schools, at this school, we started a pen pal project, which is really fun. Them sending letters and pictures. They took pictures of them all so they could send the send pictures to, and I had about three Ontario schools here nearby doing the exchange, the pen pal, which worked really well. And very significant, I did a skipping clinic with this school, St. Leo's School, and the little girl with the braided hair at the back came up to me at Tolagelli's, because that's the house that we built, because we celebrate there every year, have a beautiful, fun celebration. And this little girl came up to me and said, "I skipped with you." And I was astonished, because it was a grade 5 class, and I didn't realize they could speak English. And I said, "You mean at St. Leo's?" And she said, "Yes." And then she said what describes the whole situation. She said, "My mother has died. I am an orphan. I live with my go-go. Hillcrest helps to send me to school." That describes the whole, you know, universal syndrome that's affecting everywhere. But here's the sewing machines, delivering sewing machines to some of the go-go's. And, oh, I had to put this little picture in it. That's the same rendezvous that we were meeting in. But see outside the doorway, there's a little boy going pee-pee. It's the one picture that should be censored. And another darling little soul, but one of those sad moments. I didn't go inside, because Twingy, being the nurse, was going inside, because there were the next two generations up, two people, were dying of AIDS. Well, the little boy and I were playing out in the front porch. And this is typical. The little kids love their go-go's, but they also look after the little person, their little brother, their little sister. That was at a sewing machine place too, or when we were delivering sewing machines. This was a different organization called Project O, which is Project Orphan, and they were dealing with child-headed households, or adultless households. And Twingy and I went with them to... oops, I'm going backwards. Get the right clicker. We went with them, and Twingy was so excited, riding on one of those big things for the first time, to visit childless, child-headed households, which is a horrible problem. Because when you think of... and I didn't realize I had on a shirt advertising beer, but most in Canadian. But we were visiting that family, which was soon going to be adultless, because both the mother and the grandmother in that family were suffering from the effects of AIDS. The grandmother, from nursing the daughter with, I guess, unfortunately, passage of fluids or bodily fluids. But here we were, and we went to this house, which was, these three kids lived in it. And they were the only three people that lived there. Luckily, there are now organizations all over Southern Africa that are looking after childless households, because, you know, who's going to buy their shoes? Who's going to get them food? And there was an aunt involved here, because you can tell they have nice little hairdos. But it's just a universal problem there. And they could possibly be sent to an orphanage, but this orphanage, as they try so hard to get it to look okay, because you can see them sweeping up behind, but the poor little ragamuffins, they did love the skipping ropes and the tennis balls. But studies have shown that children survive much better not in an orphanage, but in a home situation, whether it's the go-go or whether it's the neighbor or whether it's an aunt, they survive much better not in an orphanage. So there are now all sorts of creches, which is like a nursery school. We visited a creche this season, and here were all these darling little souls just sitting there on the cement. They were having lunch. We went back the next day taking blankets and things so that they wouldn't have to sit in the cement. But I said to the woman in charge, "How many children are here?" And they said, and the lady said, 50. And I said, "Well, are these all orphans, or where are their mothers?" And this is a whole other problem. The lady said, "Most of the mothers have their babies and go right back to school. Teenage pregnancies are rampant." So that's then left to go-go's and aunts or neighbors to after. So the creche is a daytime caregivers. Here they are, that's nap time. And all very happy on the outside. So in the meantime, in the deepest, darkest, no, it isn't dark, there's no such thing as dark Africa, but of the deepest, farthest away from the road is this house. And this house was where we met starting go-go groups. And as I said, we would, the go-go's would get together, and when it got to be, well, they realized way down there, and here's the beautiful woman who has a hard time getting around, but with her two grandchildren, she realized in that area way down there, they needed a nursery school, they needed a creche, but they were so far from everything, so they built it themselves. And a nice husband doing a fabulous communal garden, which is really sweeping the whole area in the Valley of a Thousand Hills, doing great stuff, providing veggies and things. And this was the great go-go who was there, who insisted she was 104 years old and insisted on getting her picture taken. But here's what that's them almost finished the building. Oops, am I going backwards again? Crazy woman. And that place finished. Built by the go-go's. Just fabulous. This is this go-go group was, when we first got there, was in this old building that was in terrible shape. They couldn't meet if it was raining, because, you know, you could see the sun shining through, but not if it was raining. And that has all since been fixed. And that space up there where there should be a house, it was a mud hut, and it washed away in one of the rains. So the go-go's purchasing one block at a time with their, a month with their pension money, built a new house up there for them. It's just the whole, and that's the rains that would wash. That's what it's like on the road too, with all these critters. And another go-go group. This was to show you. Each time we would go down to visit, every morning before I went to pick up Twingy, I would go to the grocery store and pick up either 5 or 10 loaves of bread, depending if we were visiting one group or two groups, and a big slab of palogna, as they call it, and margarine and juice, and we would take them down sandwich makings for lunch. When we first started it, they didn't seem to be eating their sandwiches. We couldn't figure out why, but then we noticed they were hiding them to take home to their children. So then we started taking twice as much stuff, twice as much bread, and also bags for them to take goodies home to the little kids. And this was, we had visitors from four women came by, and were so impressed with it all that they supplied the 10 kgs of rice for everybody. And here we are delivering to the people that weren't at the meeting. The ingenuity of the little kids. There aren't toys to play with, so it might be hard to see, but those little boys had built a truck out of wire. But always, I travel the whole time with tennis balls in my backpack. And so all these little guys just love their tennis balls. And these were traditional healers, and we went to visit a spot down in the valley that we were expecting to be doing, working on a bit of home-based care and also working on building a go-go group, but there were the traditional healers were at this place, and when we got there, they invited us in, and there was sadness in the somebody had died, so the traditional healers were all there. They were all sitting on the floor of their humble home, and driving out the sad, the evil spirits. And so, and before we ate, and this little boy had to go and get water because they're very proud of the glasses. When they have company, they serve your water, and he had to go get it far away. But they serve water in the glass. And so they were all dancing. They were all doing the Zulu dance. And if you know the Zulu dance, it's a great big high kick. And even though I'm a phys ed person, I'm not very flexible at all. So to do a kick the way they do it, over their heads, just couldn't do it. And they were trying to get me to join in on this dancing. I could do the dancing part, but just couldn't do the big kicks. So I thought, well, here, let's do something Canadian. And I thought, oh, what's Canadian? And so I got my glass of water and said, cheers, like this. Well, they loved it. We must have done cheers about 17 times. Cheers! They're probably still doing it. Oh, I had to throw this local color in because that was probably from my baby brownie. Now, women everywhere are all the same. It's just that some have more than others. And these are the folks that don't have much at all, but give them something to play with, and they love it. So after about 4 years, I said to Twingy, we had 24 go-go groups at that stage, I said, let's have a celebration. Let's have a whole play day for the go-go's. And we'll have games and sports. And I said, and we'll call it the Go-Go Olympics. Well, Twingy didn't say anything. She didn't say anything for 2 days. And I thought this was a really good idea. And it sort of hurt my feelings. I thought, heck. And then 2 days later, she said, perhaps we should start working on your Olympics now. And so it has grown to be something big and special. The first year we had 350 women playing. And to finish off, we're going to be looking at a little 3-minute video of the Go-Go Olympics taken on the primitive cell phones. We had young people from the valley help run it. And we did this for about 3 or 4 years without any support from the Hillcrest Aid Center until they realized that this was a really important thing. It's now a huge status symbol. So then it got funding and publicity and that sort of stuff. But we had just a committee of young people for probably the first 3 years. And so you'll be seeing the movie that they took on their cell phones. 2011 was the first year, and actually it's on YouTube, 2011 and 2014. By 2014, they had professional photographers taking and putting together the video. At 2011, which you'll see shortly, it was the kids from the valley plus my son-in-law Albert building the video. So this is this year. Oh, and the first year there were 350 people. Now there's well over 1,000, 1,500. And it's become sort of a template for other places. Durban asked if they could use the plan to build their own Go-Go Olympics. And this year, I was just talking to Twingy this week to ask her how to say Happy Father's Day in Zulu. And she was all excited because Go-Go Olympics was end of April. And people from Swaziland and from all various parts around, farther away that couldn't get to our Go-Go Olympics are wanting to figure out if they can do it and how to do it, which is just so exciting. So it's blossoming. But here, there's a big march in always, and the Canadian flag and vuvuzelas and drums and the South African flag. And then competitive games, soccer and netball. Cooperative games, indigenous games, Zulu games, then even board games for women who aren't as mobile, but a chess-like game called, I always call it blah, 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 but it's called mlabu labu, and then a big award ceremony, then dancing, music and art and dance and hope, and then a big march out. So it's getting so famous, it's very exciting. But this is this year. Remember when you were in grade four, when you did those over and under races? You know, you're standing this way, but, the ball goes under, then over, then under, and then you crawl up underneath. Well, we didn't suggest crawling underneath everybody's legs up to the front, but they loved doing it. So this is one of the practices this year. Okay, baby. What's it doing? Here we go. And that's one of the warm-ups. One of the leaders, one of my heroes in the red shirt, rose from absolutely nothing. No money, no jobs, 3 kids. Both she and her husband didn't have jobs. She tells the whole story, and now she's amazing, and so are her kids. One's a teacher, one's a police officer. In fact, I spoke at her daughter's new school, brand new teacher, grade 11 kids. You know, the same jokes work for grade 11 kids all over the world, I think. But success. So one of those heroes. But here they are doing the warm-ups. Oh, there's Telegelli. They love big butts. That's a stuffed butt. For a special event, that butt is stuffed. This butt is not stuffed. And here was a celebration. The Stephen Lewis Foundation sent around, or the Grandmothers to Grandmothers campaign sent around a message saying, all across Canada, we're going to have a celebration day, a day of unity, and we'll all get together and we'll raise our arms and we'll sing and we'll dance. And that was for Canada. And I thought, heck, we can probably be the only people anywhere else from Canada to be doing it. So we did this in South Africa. And here they have on their Heart and Stroke Foundation big bike shirts. And I call this me with two heroes. There's that's Princess in the middle and the wonderful Stephen Lewis on the right. And that was at the 2006, the first ever Grandmothers to Grandmothers gathering. And here's more celebrations. In the beginning, I took all Canada shirts. I still take a zillion Canada shirts over. But partying at or celebrating at Totogelli's place, there's now so many little kids there that I can't possibly take enough shirts. But this was part of this year's gang. And if you look carefully, all of them, this is Totogelli and all the kids, and if you wonder what their mouths are doing, they're saying, "Oh Canada." They all know the first line of "Oh Canada." So, on behalf of the Gogos, the Umhulus, that's the grandfathers, and the children, thank you. Thank you, pronounced Siabonga. But back to Peter, let's have a look at the Gogo Olympics. Have you got 3 minutes of time? Maybe 3:58? Okay. Thank you, Peter. And that's them singing in the march in. We call her our poster child. Handmade sign the first year. Very funny committee. There's a lady front and center who I'd never seen before, but she ended up being front and center in every picture. At the opening ceremonies. I must apologize for my yellow shirt. I had no idea it would stick out so much in the videos. You can hear the boo-hoo-zalas from the world of the World Cup fame. Each group was asked to, on poster board, write their concerns, their dismay, whether it was starvation or violence or elder, violence, that sort of thing. And then we shared them with the local police and local politicians. This is the opening prayer. So you'll love this. This is the first year, and lots were playing in bare feet, but by the second year we insisted that everybody have tackies, as they call them, running shoes, and we would supply them if they couldn't. And I love that picture with the lady with the baby on the back. That first year, we got them all bandanas to tell the 8 different teams to tell the different colors. Now they have T-shirts. And for the next 3 years, we supplied the T-shirts. But now, to give them ownership, they have to pay something like $2 in support of their T-shirts. Netball looks way harder than basketball. And at the end, it's always the dance. And some people can get their foot way over their head. This group made their own skirts for the event. And one year, somebody gave me enough soccer outfits for a whole go-go group, but it was against their culture. They said, no, thank you. And they had there's this whole system, who dances next. But then I thought, oh, heck, I'm just going to go in the middle and see what happens. And little did I know, I was in there making a fool of myself. And here again, the poster child for the Go-Go Olympics. And one of the quotes for today is, and I found this on the wall of the gallery in Durban City Hall. Let's act. If not now, when? If not us, who? And if not together, how? That could be a whole universal motto. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a treat talking with you.
Take one moment to reflect on the words today. I'd like to remind everyone that you can help support the Go-Go's by purchasing a little traveler made by the Go-Go's themselves and brought over by Carolyn. They're only $10, which I think is or as much as you want to give. So see the kiosk before you leave. They're really cute and they're lovely. As Annie wrote in the eBlast bulletin, Carolyn brings a message of hope with her signature style of joy, enthusiasm, dedication, and compassion. Carolyn, please accept our thanks for coming out this morning and sharing your message. You are truly the light of the world, and you bring joy into the world. Thank you very much. Let's go forth in peace on this very happy day. And would you accept our token?
To a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to www.westhill.net/donate.